the Around the NFL podcast. Doesn't like other sports.
Welcome to another edition of the Around the NFL podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I'm joined by a room filled with heroes, Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
I think that's the second time that drops. That is Mark Sessler's beat. I don't want to be grouped in with a guy that only likes football. I like a lot of sports. I'm even in on the Euro Cup, the Copa. I'm watching all this soccer. I'm all pumped up about sports right now.
Dan learned Copa approximately 2 hours ago.
That's correct, but I'm in now.
I mean, I think the thing that keeps – I keep mentioning this and it keeps getting forgotten is that it's a time issue for me. That the 15-year-old me watched every sport and, you know, I had no other – agenda or anything to do with my life. I just don't have time to watch Copa Cup or anything. I'm sure it's very nice. Have a nice time with it. Enjoy yourself.
Okay. I mean, it's just, you know, I don't want to be labeled as that as a group when it's really one guy. Wes loves a lot of sports. Greg loves many sports and a lot of different ways to get involved with sports. Wink, wink. I love many sports. You know.
I don't even know what that means. Well. Ways to get involved with other sports?
Well, I mean, how about this?
I think Al Michaels at the end of a Sunday night telecast.
Instead of putting the heat on yourself or on me, how about call it what it was, a disastrous money drop?
Okay, wow.
That's not.
Oh, that's fair. Okay, this is the Monday edition of the Around the NFL podcast, sponsored by no one, loved by many. What was the last part of that?
Respect.
Beholden to nobody.
I was going to throw in respected by few. I don't know.
It depends, yeah, who you ask about that. Although I did, and we'll get into it a little later, at the All or Nothing premiere last Thursday night, I met a listener.
Humble brag.
Not really. But this guy came up to me, and it was a little later in the night, and I had, you know, a couple drinks at the after party. And I had this moment where I like to sometimes at like a party, like get away from everyone and just stand and look around. And that's when he saw me, and he probably thought that I was like some type of weird drifter. That's the way it is, though.
Wait, hold on.
You can always present the best, you know.
Then this person approached
version
you after.
Of yourself. That's when he approached me. He saw me standing alone at the edge of the bar with everyone else like having fun together.
Local drifter.
Yeah.
Who probably sees himself as John Hamm in that moment.
Who?
You.
What? You're upset because I get on you about the football thing. That's it.
No, I don't.
I only like, oh, only 16-game seasons are for me.
Local.
I'm way too busy for anything else.
What I need is to be tracking a team day to day that's 18 games out of first place with 4 months to go in the season. That's a good way to use my time.
Well, what are you doing with your time, really? Let's be honest. If we're really going to get into it.
Lots of things.
We had a good weekend.
We did have a nice time at, it wasn't WrestleMania, but it was a West gathering. And
it was a raucous good time. This was the most successful party at my place yet.
Easily.
There was a lot of things that went down. The best ribs that Wes has ever made brought the house down. The police were called.
The police were called.
There was some night swimming in the Pacific.
Yes.
There was some cornhole played. The mega powers finally got together. Wessling and Hansis teamed up. The long rumored pairing, and then wiped the floor with multiple pretenders before retiring.
It was a good time. Good time all around, and the cleanup the next day was vicious.
I can imagine. My jacket's there, by the way.
We'll get it back to you.
Okay, thanks.
Another reason to have a barbecue.
Still got to have WrestleMania.
Yeah, we do.
How do you top that, though?
I don't know.
It's like your Royal Rumble like was a huge success and a ratings bonanza, and now WrestleMania, it's going to be hard to follow.
That happens sometimes. Royal Rumble was the best, I thought.
WrestleMania will happen in July. It was supposed to be the off-season kickoff party. It's probably going to be the off-season end party, but a couple of key men. I mean, Colleen Wolf wasn't there. Lakeisha wasn't there. We have to have these people for the official WrestleMania.
There's some Ewing theory elements at play with Connie Fox not being at the party on Saturday.
I don't think
that's fair.
Okay. Yes, on today's edition of the program, we will get into what's been going on in the NFL since we last saw you, or you last heard us. That was Thursday. And we'll also discuss, I like this segment, best quarterbacks under 25.
So 25 and under.
This is a Rosenthal annual staple.
So we're counting 25.
25 and under.
Okay, fair. So we'll kind of talk about who, each of us made a list of five our top five quarterbacks, 25 and under, and we will debate that both analytically and then, you know, throw in some mirth, as we're known to do. And that's Monday's show. And before we move on, let's check behind the glass. Brandon, the Irishman, McGinnis, out of town. Probably watched the Irish have a draw today in the Euro Cup. Big soccer fan, Mark. And,
yep.
And then TD, who filled in last Thursday, also out of the office. Who knows what he's up to. But the third stringer steps in a big spot, but not a third stringer to us, Sully.
That's right. What's up, fellas?
Hey, Sully.
What's going on, boys? I've like you, Dan, I've been watching a lot of soccer lately. Huge soccer guy.
Mm. Are you a big soccer guy?
Big soccer guy. I made the trip up to San Fran.
He was just going crazy watching some nice ball in the
Belgium,
Italy.
Belgium and Italy.
Yeah. Yep.
Good game. But, yeah, I was up in San Fran for the U.S.'s 2-0 defeat against Colombia, but we were able to battle back and win the group.
Sully's pretty zeroed in right now on a game that's happening, so this podcast is an absolute wild card.
I am not zeroed in. I'm zeroed in on you guys, priority number one.
Almost as good as when I walked into the room with all the producers today. Like, who's producing our podcast? Anyone? TD's gone.
Of course I stepped up and
Sully's
stepped up to the bat and said,
I'll
hey,
do
it's
it.
Me.
Well, here's the first big test, if Sully is prepared or just watching football. Let's do some news.
Yep.
Oh, well, that's fine with me.
The only reason I use this is because I needed to sneak it in somehow.
It is good. You like that drop light, Mark?
I think it's fantastic.
Sully knows his audience.
Let's start in Baltimore. The Ravens got bad news on Breshad Perriman, their wide receiver they took in the first round last year, 26th overall. Of course, he missed all of last year with a PCL sprain in his right knee that never really got better. They eventually put him on injured reserve. And then we learned this weekend that he suffered a partially torn ACL in his left knee this week, according to Rap Sheet. Perriman met with Dr. James Andrews on Monday, according to Rappaport, for a scope, which is a minimally invasive procedure that's scheduled for Tuesday, and that will determine whether or not he needs the full ACL reconstruction, which, of course, would end his season, or if he has a chance to get back on the field. Mark, we'll start with you. The Ravens seem to be cursed, little Murphy's Law, in Baltimore last year, and this is not good news that this guy they're expecting a lot from could be shelved for the year.
It's not good news at all. I mean, I think if you look at what they were trying to do last year at the position, you would think that this time around, with Breshad Perriman coming back, that there'd be a completely different feeling of optimism, a reason to think that the Ravens would have another element to their passing game. They did get Mike Wallace. That helps a little bit. Mm. But really, what do we know we're going to get out of Mike Wallace? I mean, it's a good signing on paper. I don't know about regular season, but this is his career has been completely derailed.
Yeah.
Perriman's.
I'm a little down on the Ravens right now. I know early in the offseason we liked them as a team to bounce back, but they were old and slow on offense last year, and they're going to be old and slow on offense again this year. And as Greg has pointed out, they've got a lot of question marks on their defense. Their pass rushers are old. Ozzie Newsome hasn't drafted as well the last few years, and he's admitted it. And now the chickens are coming home to roost a little bit.
Well, it's a big loss because of the position he plays. That they, you know, you take a first-round pick, you expect that guy to make an impact. Right now they're counting on Steve Smith. This was another story that we did on Monday, to come back from a torn Achilles at 37 years old. And he said, I don't know when I'll be back on the field. And that makes sense. It's only the middle of June. No panic there. But to me, when we've been talking about the Ravens this year, it's kind of like, okay, well, you get Perriman back, you get Steve Smith back, you get these guys back, everything will be fine. Well, now you don't have Perriman. And Steve Smith is the list of people that have come back at 37 years old, that receiver from a torn Achilles and been effective, is a short or non-existent one.
So how many 37-year-old receivers have even had a torn Achilles?
Right, exactly, because most people retire at that point. And maybe he will be fine. All I'm saying there is he's a starter, and he's a huge question mark. You have Mike Wallace as the other one, and then Kamar
Huge
Aiken.
Question mark.
Think how much has to go right here for them to have even a decent wide receiver group? Smith coming off the Achilles, Perriman now. You have to hope that this is
quarterback coming off a torn ACL.
I guess I worry about that less, but that's very fair. And Wallace, who really hasn't been an impact player in a couple of years, now he's going to find the fountain of youth at, you know, age 28 or 29. I'm with you, Wes. There's a lot of reasons to be nervous about this team.
They did draft two guys. I mean, but it seems like the Ravens for a while have been a lot of young receivers that aren't superstars that are vying for snaps, and it's not a complete position.
Chris Moore is the fourth round pick who could be a deep threat that people like, that has had some buzz, I guess, in the OTA season, but who knows what that'll mean. Counting on a guy like that to play a lot, it's a little early. Kamar Aiken, though, who was their leading receiver last year, this should lock him up for regular snaps.
Let's move on and talk another team that has some wide receiver issues, the Detroit Lions, who, of course, lost Calvin Johnson to retirement earlier this year. The team announced they have signed former Redskins and Cardinals wideout Andre Roberts to a one-year deal. This came down on Monday, and they will be bringing in Anquan Boldin, a member of the St. Louis Greybeards, for a visit. This per rap sheet. Roberts caught 47 passes for 588 yards and two touchdowns over his last two seasons in D.C., Boldin had another nice season, 69 for 789 and 4 for a bad San Francisco team. Wes, your thoughts?
Andre Roberts is a decent slot receiver. He had fallen out of favor with the Redskins, but I like to sign him because they lacked depth, and it was Corey Fuller had an injury, so they had nobody behind Marvin Jones and Golden Tate. But I wonder how many guys you're collecting who are best suited for the slot and not outside.
It helps, though. I mean, TJ, their other two guys were TJ Jones and Jericho Cotri, which is about as bad a number three receiver spot as there is around the league. And Boldin, to me, makes a lot of sense in Baltimore now.
Mm-hmm.
I know they're slow, and you're saying they're old and slow. Okay, that's great. Between Steve Smith and Boldin, maybe you get one of them to be a solid starter, and you find out who's going to be that guy. He obviously has the chemistry with Joe Flacco. That makes
sense
there.
Is there any ill will there? After they shipped him off?
He did not want – yeah, that was kind of a messy little divorce. But that was
fair.
That was a tough money situation, right? That was around the Flacco deal, and all of a sudden they had no room up under the cap. But would make sense as a homecoming. He went out as a champion there.
Well, he's not going to be a champion in Baltimore this year because I've already told you that one team other than the Browns are going to finish in fourth place. So
dirt nap, you said.
Dirt nap time.
So are you
Bengals
saying it is the Ravens?
So the Ravens are coming in
I
fourth?
Have refused to answer that. I'm not going to get that specific, but one of those teams that everyone assumes is going to roll into the playoffs. Oh, look at 11-5, Ozzie Newsome, Baltimore Ravens. How about the answer is no?
Well, if you're going to make an incorrect, optimistic prediction about the Browns, you might as well be more specific. Hang some onions.
I think I did by saying they wouldn't be in last place.
Well, now you have two teams in the AFC North taking dirt naps, the Ravens and the Bengals. So processes of elimination, you got to have the Steelers probably winning and the Browns coming in at a respectable second place.
No, I'm not calling for second place. I think that, you know, if you're the Bengals, I respect Westavis enough to say that the dirt nap time might come closer to January.
All right. Fair enough. Oh, more wide receiver talk, guys. Let's go to San Diego, where Keenan Allen has a new deal. Allen has agreed to a new four-year extension, according to Rap Sheet. The extension has a $45 million base. He can earn up to $49 million with incentives, including $20 million guaranteed and a $9.5 million signing bonus. You know, NFL Media's Connor Orr. Are you kidding me? First reported that both sides were in a negotiation for a new deal. Former third-round pick, a bullseye pick by San Diego. He had 725 yards and four touchdowns over just eight games last season and was on pace for almost 140 catches. We've been talking about him a little bit the last couple of weeks, but this is a guy you lock up, right, Wes?
This is a rare guy. I think all four of us agree on him. That he is extremely underrated in today's NFL and possibly a top 12 wide receiver. If you are looking this offseason for a game to watch on NFL Game Pass, dial up Week 6 Chargers at Packers, an absolute delightful game to watch. Rivers throws for 500. Keenan Allen is making diving miraculous plays all over the field in traffic. Just a phenomenal game.
That game was symbolic of the Chargers season where they seemed like they were so much better than a four-win team. They were in it to the end in some tough spots like in Lambeau. And I agree with you on Allen, although this is, you know, he's coming off a bad 2014 and then he was injured last year. I love Keenan Allen. I think the Chargers are going to wind up with a steal in terms of the money in this deal because basically a two-year, $20 million deal. And then after that, to me, he's going to be underpaid if he's 80% of what we expect him to be. But I get from his perspective, you take the money, take the short-term money. Even if you're giving the team a little bit of a deal long-term, you're coming off an injury. You never know. Maybe he has another injury this year that would change his life. Just take it.
I mean, overall, if we're down on the other two wide receiver groups that we just talked about, Detroit and Baltimore, I really like what San Diego has, especially after they compare Travis Benjamin with Keenan Allen. They didn't have that element to their passing game last year consistently. So Stevie Johnson, not a bad guy either. fits well there.
It's an underrated wide receiver core. I like Travis Benjamin will play like a DeSean Jackson light kind of role, mm-hmm. take the top off of defenses and get deep.
Not to mention Gates. Not to mention, I believe, the NFL's leader in reception among running backs, Danny Woodhead. Did he?
Oh, and also Danny Woodhead, one of the NFL's best short yardage weapons, red zone weapons.
It's a good receiver group. That is it's a strange one too. I don't know. For some reason, it's not a group with a ton of size.
Floyd retired.
It's almost like they built it with guys like they're looking for different skill sets, maybe to play with Phillip Rivers than most teams.
Keenan Allen isn't tall, but he's extremely physical, like a young Anquan Boldin type.
Wes, is it true that in your stable of boys, Danny Woodhead has one of those in Japanese culture, the hotels where the bed comes out of the wall?
No, he's people actually the stable boy.
Oh, he's the stable boy.
I like Woodhead.
He kind of looks like a jockey, Danny Woodhead. You ever notice that?
Well, he's a little sturdier than most jockeys.
Yeah, I think he probably weighs about 80 or 90 pounds too much, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Greg, you know.
We didn't even mention.
Good strategy. Put that on your horse, Dan.
We didn't even mention all the Antonio Gates.
Big horse racing fan, Dan Hansis over here.
I watch the Triple Crown. If there's someone that needs – that's the type of fan I am. If the Triple Crown's at play, I'm watching that.
Absolutely. Match. No, it's admirable.
Sneaky fun. You know, Dan lived in New York. Sneaky fun New York day, Belmont day.
Oh, yeah.
Take the Metro North up there.
Up to Queens.
Have a great time.
Oh, look at the two of you.
I don't know how I find it, the hours in my day, to still be a good husband and father, but I do it, you know. I don't know. By the way, you know Japanese culture, Greg. Famously married to a Japanese woman.
Famously,
the little beds where they pull out.
I thought you were gonna say you know short people. You know, talking about Danny Woodhead, famously short.
But do you know what I'm talking about when I say that?
Yes,
it was like a Seinfeld episode.
It was
back in the day.
Yeah, they had. You know, there are the hotels.
No sleeping, come back later.
There are the hotels. Where you just kind of. It's a little box or whatever, the overnight. No, why would you ever do that? I think there's a
function. Well, I mean, obviously some people are doing it. It's an industry.
It's like my greatest nightmare.
Well, but if
put into a
it's
sealed
like
box.
The equivalent
where you keep Johnny Chuckles.
Equivalent of a place for a young person, you know, that might be spending $20 with hitchhikers at a youth hostel. Instead, they'll do that.
Well, that just makes sense.
There actually is a logical reason for it, though. You know, the trains don't run, I think, from midnight to 6 a.m. So it's a lot of people, I think, that are just getting bombed and then passing out for a couple hours in the hotel thing, and then they get back on the train in the morning.
I bet that smells good when they pull them out of the box in the morning after night.
I think you have the ability to get out yourself. You don't need someone to come around.
It sounds like a coffin to me.
Wait, the bed goes back inside the wall?
Yeah, you get like it's like a pod that you come out and then they close you in.
They throw you into.
I'm on Greg's side. That sounds ridiculous. Why would anyone
capsule hotels?
Capsule
pod
hotels. There you go, Greg, our Japan consultant. In other news, last Thursday night, there you go. There's a picture. If they ever put us back on video.
Yeah, that's going to play well in the show. Yeah. We're all looking at this. It looks like a honeycomb.
I was at the Humble Brag at the Thursday night event for the Arizona Cardinals in downtown L.A. Not even Humble Brag because I missed the softball game, which I wasn't happy about. But I did my job. Greg sent me, and I went. And that was it. The boss said, jump. I said, how high?
That's Dan's attitude.
Yeah, exactly.
So, if it makes you feel any better, your presence would not have made a lick of difference at the softball game.
It doesn't sound like it. But 3-3 at the halfway point.
By the way, we have called you guys out. I say we. It's the Predators, Timon and I.
Yeah.
The Culver City Predators.
Yeah, the guys that work in the blue room next to
us. Yes, we've called you out. So let's get this game going.
Do you have five females for your team?
We can –
Get back to us when you actually have a team.
We will. We will.
And we'll dispatch you.
Right. Okay. I doubt it, but.
They think because they won a flag football league against. Like,
undefeated.
A bunch of nuns.
Our champion. It was actually TD's team, and we won 70-0.
What's happening, fellas? All right. So, anyway, it was at the All or Nothing premiere, and I just – a couple of things. I got to hang out in the green room beforehand, which was very cool because, I mean, it was a who's who, and it made me – it reminded me why, A – this was a perfect team for Amazon. This is a new series that's launching on July 1st that documents the entire 2015 season for the Cardinals. And the guys in this room, I mean, you had Arians bellying up at the bar, working on a beer. I got to talk to him. That was great. You got Carson Palmer drinking Bud Heavies on the other side of the bar. Mm. You got Honey Badger there. Calais Campbell is one of those guys that, like, knows everyone. I brought my buddy Jason, and Calais Campbell made eye contact with Jay and, like, stuck his hand out. I was like, hey, what's up, man? And my buddy Jay, who's like a you know, a real romantic type Cardinals fan, melted right in front of me. Michael Floyd's there. Patrick Peterson. What a team of all-stars, right? And then the show's great. Everybody's going to love it when you see it. But I will say it did get me thinking about the 2016 team of ATL.
Greg about to trash the hotel room.
I always forget that song's like longer than Champagne Supernova. Yes. Here's my theory here. You know, presidents, we just saw it with Obama. You can go two terms. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you think I'm voting for any of these little AFC South darlings that people are getting excited about in this room for Team of ATL, which is a very special honor, I'm not going to do it. So I
none of them? You've just eliminated the entire division?
I am just throwing it out there as an option, a second term for the Cardinals as Team of ATL. That's all. I'm not saying that it was something that needs to come to a vote or either we need to really get in a big discussion, but I thought about it at that event. This is such a great, fun, potentially special team. We already got on the train. Why get off the train now?
Well, it's like when you talk about the process that we went through the last two seasons to pick a team of ATL, nearly brought the group to its knees a few times. And with the Cardinals, A, they delivered last year right up until the end. They were absolutely what you'd want in a team of ATL. And I think there's something about that team that each one of us with our different wants and needs could latch onto. Bruce Arians alone makes me like this team, and I would vote for them. Mm.
This reminds me of last year when Wes tried to run the Chargers back for a second.
Yes, it does have a lot of eerie parallels.
Stop.
By the way, the Chargers, this time around, I think Wes even maybe would be more open to it. I feel like they'd be on the long list of potential teams.
Reminds me of a disastrous interview I did with a San Diego radio station this morning, and it started like this. So you were down in San Diego for mini camp last week. What did you see?
Do your homework.
I wasn't in San Diego. All right, well, next question.
Do your homework. Be a professional. Name the station. Shame them.
No, they're nice people.
Double X Sports, San Diego.
I think that's close.
all right. Anyway, I'm just throwing that out there. But make sure you check that out. If you are a football fan, they screened. There's 8 episodes. They're going to drop on July 1st at midnight. Amazon Prime users get access to the show. It's called All or Nothing. We watched the one that was the playoff game between the Packers and Cardinals, and it's one of the. I remember when the game happened. I said that I thought it was like my favorite game ever, and it's unquestionably one of the best playoff games in years. That game, you want to talk about luck, had the most wires, cameras, the most covered game in the history of NFL. Mm.
My response would be, you know, last year the Arizona Cardinals captured my heart after first couple of weeks. You know, they got some ground to make up on the Tennessee Titans, which have already begun to capture my heart this offseason.
Yeah,
it's getting vetoed by Dan, though.
We each get 1 out of 4 votes here, so that's only fair that Dan could veto it.
Well, I mean, it's going to be tough for the Cardinals to catch up in the charisma department with Mike Mularkey running the show there. Magnetic personality.
There's no set formula for deciding where your heart goes, Greg.
Finally in the news, former NBA slam dunk champion Nate Robinson is bidding to join Bud Grant, a little history from Chris Wessling in the write-up, as the second athlete in history to play both in the NBA and the NFL. Robinson was cut by the New Orleans Pelicans and unclaimed on waivers out of basketball, announced in March that he would return to the gridiron once his Israeli Premier League season ended, and now he's going for it. Robinson is going to try out as a defensive back with the Seattle Seahawks. It's happening on Monday. Rap Sheet reported Robinson isn't signing with the Seahawks, but the team is planning on staying in contact with him. Washington Post first reported this. Robinson is very short. I know that, former Nick.
Measured 5'7¾" at the NBA combine.
So
he's
32 years old.
So he'd be one of the shortest cornerbacks in the NFL, and he's 32 years old and hasn't played football. And
also, no longer athletically explosive enough to play in the NBA.
Other than that,
trying to adapt to one of the toughest positions to learn how to play at the NFL level, I would imagine.
Being a volume shooter in the NBA, would that help you playing defense in the NFL?
He played cornerback at UW. So
he was a legit, solid college
Started seven games as a freshman.
Yeah, had a couple picks.
Said he would have stayed. He would have stayed with football had Washington not fired Rick Neuheisel.
Oh, he's certainly not without talent. I do like Pete Carroll. Has kind of become that guy. I feel like if you've got like an interesting story, and you just send him some clips, like he'll give you a shot.
Pete's just having fun up there.
I mean, they brought in that former, was it a paratrooper or like a Navy
the guy
SEAL?
From the draft,
it was a Navy SEAL, I believe. Yeah,
right.
Log snapper from Texas. Yeah,
we talked last week about how tough it is for established NFL players to switch positions in the middle of their career. It's got to be so much tougher for an NBA player after, 11 years of, or maybe 14 years of not playing football to come in at age 32. And
be like Julius Peppers trying to go to the NBA after his career.
Right.
Yeah.
I'd be a little concerned if I'm the GM of the Hapoel Tel Aviv BC basketball club.
That guy's got, he's got a lot on his plate right now, Greg. You're right.
Just saying. Losing one of your best players to football tryout.
Quick game here. Sign, start, or kill their NFL dreams. Their NFL dreams, not kill them.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Sign, start, or kill their NFL dreams. Johnny Manziel, Tim Tebow, Nate Robinson. You got to sign one, you got to start one, and you got to kill. You got to kill the dreams of the other. Mark.
I would start Tim Tebow, which bothers me. I would sign Manziel and just bury him on a practice squad and have a chaperone with him at all times just to keep him, you know, out of his normal 24/7 trouble cycle.
I see what you're saying.
I'm going to kill the NFL dreams of Nate Robinson.
Goodbye.
Thank you, Sully.
Sully, listen. First, get your Dan Hansis drop. Now he's helping me bring him back. You are the weakest link. Goodbye.
Yeah.
So you're
killing. It's the weakest link.
All right, Wes.
You start Tim Tebow. Easy answer. I mean, this guy's won playoff games.
Wow, you're one of those guys.
Well, I mean,
look at the other options.
You know, they're looking for
another guy started a game just last December, and he was okay in some of them.
You know, ESPN's looking for a replacement for Skip Bayless.
Just saying.
Look, Tim Tebow, as much as people want to rip on him, is better than some backups around the NFL. And the reason he doesn't play isn't because he's not better than backups. It's people don't want to deal with the headache. But you signed Nate Robinson because who am I to give up on his dream?
Wow.
To put roadblocks in front
of
his dream. And you don't want anything to do with Johnny Manziel. You kill his football dreams.
All right, that's fair.
He doesn't deserve football dreams, frankly.
Mm. Hey, listen, a lot of people will agree with you. Greg?
Well, going with my motto in terms of the – what was it? My free agency team where I had all the contracts and whatnot?
They're like the muckrakers or the troublemakers.
I'm going to start Johnny Manziel. He's been in the league most recently playing okay.
He weighs 140 pounds.
That's a problem, but this group presents a lot of problems.
Its durability is not what he's looking for.
So I'm going to start Johnny Manziel. He's been in the league recently. I'm going to sign Nate Robinson as another man of short stature. I think you give him the chance to blossom on the practice squad and give him some time.
You're leaving Tim Tebow out of the NFL in this scenario.
I'm going to kill his NFL dreams because he has dreams bigger than football. He is speaking around the country. He has moved on.
You're going to start a quarterback who has a 5% chance of even making it to the game.
Oh, it's easily 15%, Wes. Let's be fair.
General manager Greg Rosenthal in hot water by week 3 of this NFL season.
I'm trying to think of the name of the team. It was like the Felons or something.
The Rosenthal Red Flags.
The Ne'er-do-wells.
Oh, I like that. The Rosenthal. That's what's happening in the news. All right, guys. Everyone had fair points there.
Thanks, Dan.
Yeah.
For scoring the fight.
Oh, do you want to know what the answer is, though?
Yeah, I got to go with Wes.
The correct answers are, I'm thinking about this in real time, you're starting Tim Tebow. You got to put some meat in the seats.
That's a good point.
Put some meat in the seats. You are signing Johnny Manziel for the same reasons Mark said. You're going to rehabilitate him. You're going to save his life potentially.
Unrehabilitatable.
You're going to believe in him, and he could eventually supplant Tebow, who will be terrible most likely. and the, you know, meat in the seats appeal will wear off with that after a while. And then Nate Robb, already a multimillionaire, had a nice NBA career, by the way.
Yes, he did.
A fun player, had some big moments, won the slam dunk titles, is going to have a nice life no matter what happens. This is all kind of a pipe dream. So I'm killing your dreams.
Everyone wins.
You already lived your dream. So.
Great.
I would add if you're the Seahawks, though, you would have to add Nate because he's a UW grad.
The Seahawks are not an NFC contender every year because they're doing these kinds of things.
Yeah, I know. I realize that, but
like
I'm saying
all other 12s, Sully only sees the NFL through Seahawks lenses.
I would say if you're the Seahawks, I agree with you, Wes, most likely. But I would say if you're the Seahawks choosing,
Seahawks don't have to worry about putting meat in the seats either.
No, they don't.
That's a great fan base up there.
Right.
Selling out that building.
Wes's favorite fan base.
Nice little play for the old Nate Robinson when he was with the Celtics.
Yeah, he was a fan favorite in New York, too. So, you know, good job by you, Nate. All right, finally, let's now talk about it. Wes, I would say that if there was a list, you know how they do like top 30 professionals under 30 in Rockland County, and then they have the list of the headshots? I would put, like, Wes, top 30 podcasters under 45. You would be on that list.
Thank you. Appreciate it. How many podcasters are under 45?
I don't know.
I mean, over 45.
I don't know.
That's high praise. There are literally thousands of podcasts out there, hundreds and hundreds. So if
you're in the
top 30, that's pretty good.
Point being, coming from Dan, it was a white-hot ageism comment.
Yeah. Well, that's true.
And I didn't even lump in Mark because we clashed earlier on the show about his sports fandom. So I just that had to be just you.
Every other podcaster except Tony Kornheiser is under 45.
So yeah, you guys would be the top three. 40.
Simmons is I think 46, so
yeah,
he's not even in this. So you're I think you might be number
you're
one.
You're in the 40 over 40.
40 podcasters over 40.
Anyway, so this list, though, the hook of this is top five quarterbacks 25 and under. And, Greg, we will start with you on this. Again, if you were born after, what was it, like 1991 or whatever, or before 1991, no chance. This is, you got to be 25 or under right now, not when the season begins, right?
Well, first I want to tell you I got some great news. The meeting I needed to go to was canceled.
Oh, that's great.
So we're just flying free.
Let's make this a 3-hour.
Flying free here.
Yeah, let's go.
And, well, first let's set it up with who's in this a little bit. Jared Goff. I mean, we're throwing the rookies in, just so people know. Carson Wentz. There are some surprising people that are 25 and under, like Brock Osweiler, A.J. McCarron, Geno Smith. If you guys want to put Geno Smith on your
top five.
He'll
be in Greg's top five.
He finally succeeded at something.
I had a really hard time with this because we've seen 2 years of Carr, Bortles, and if you want to throw Bridgewater in there, but you know I'm not in terms of considering for the top spot. And so that's so much more evidence than we've seen of Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota, who are obviously the other two really strong guys to pick. And yet, even though I haven't seen it as much, I am taking Jameis Winston as my number one overall pick here, top quarterback. Because I just think that first, the second year leap, I'm betting on that they're going to get better. Bortles did it. Carr did it. I think Winston and Mariota, for that matter, were better as rookies than those guys were. And so my list is Winston, Mariota, Bortles, Carr, and I threw Teddy Bridgewater in there as number five over guys like Jimmy Garoppolo and, of course, my favorite, Geno Smith.
Let's hear it again.
I have Winston 1, mm-hmm. Mariota 2. Mm-hmm. It hurt to put Bortles at 3 because I love me some Blake Bortles. He is the most fun guy on this list for me to watch, but he's 3, Derek Carr 4, and I have Teddy Bridgewater 5. I am basically deciding I don't know anything about Jared Goff or Carson Wentz at the NFL level, and I would rather take what I've seen out of Teddy Bridgewater than those guys. I really would.
That's the hook here, though, because on my list, I have Goff at number 5 over Bridgewater, but for the reverse reason, which is I kind of feel like I know what we're about to see from Teddy Bridgewater. We saw kind of a middle-of-the-road guy that showed some things at times. But also seems like the ceiling might not be that high. Goff, you know, a number one overall pick. That's boom or bust, obviously. But the ceiling could be higher, so I put him ahead of Teddy.
Absolutely, but the floor could be lower. And one thing doing this that I was looking up everyone's age, Teddy Bridgewater is 23 years old. He is a full 2 years younger than Derek Carr. Derek Carr had 5 years at Fresno State. Fresno State. Bridgewater came out as an underclassman. That's significant to me those 2 years. So I'm giving Bridgewater a chance. Why couldn't he get a little better?
This doesn't sit well with me.
Okay.
Because you have been a part of this philosophy for a while. Back in the day, we would say the Bengals are stuck in purgatory because Andy Dalton is average, and you agreed with that. If you're stuck in quarterback purgatory, you don't have your answer. You got to go find it. So if Teddy Bridgewater is quarterback purgatory, and it sounds like you think he's average, why not get a guy who can be dynamite?
I think worst case he's average. I definitely believe he can be a top 10 quarterback. I am not giving up on Teddy Bridgewater compared to where we were a year ago when I think if we went around the room, everyone would have had Teddy Bridgewater over Carr and Bortles. Maybe not everyone.
No, I had Bortles last year.
You would have had Bortles. But for the most part, most people had Teddy Bridgewater. I still think he can get better.
Mark, what are your thoughts on Teddy Bridgewater?
Teddy Bridgewater to me just does not excite me. And that's just I look at it as if I were building a team, what kind of quarterback do I want to build around? And it's not a flaming Teddy Bridgewater scenario. It's just that I have to imagine that you going from 4 to number 5 with Bridgewater, Greg, that there's quite a bit of space between 4 and 5. For me, to put him number 5 and I don't have him on my top 5 list.
Well, let's hear your list, Mark.
All right, so I have Marcus Mariota number 1.
Oh, yeah.
Blake Bortles, who I love, I have number 2.
I'm surprised he's not 1.
Well, I think that I haven't done a comparison between those two when we've talked about Blake Bortles. I like Blake Bortles more than a lot of people just like Blake Bortles, but I think Mariota showed moments last season that were beyond anything I thought we'd see from him. And so that's 1 and 2. I have Derek Carr number 3. Really like Derek Carr. I have Jameis Winston number 4. And with number 5, because I considered Teddy for the reasons you mentioned, Greg, there's more evidence of what he is. But it's not there for me because I'll take my chances with Carson Wentz. He fits the profile of the kind of quarterback I'd want.
I have almost the exact same list. Mariota was the easy choice at number 1 for me. I can't get visions of Joe Montana and Jake Plummer out of my head. Hopefully closer to Montana when I watch him play. Blake Bortles, number 2. And the second spot was hard. I considered Winston number 2 as well, but I feel like Greg said, we have a larger sample size with Bortles. He showed so much improvement, and they have very nice surrounding talent there now. Derek Carr, number 4. And I went Carson Wentz, number 5, too. What's not to love about a guy who is football brilliant and is built like Andrew Luck and moves like Andrew Luck and a young Ben Roethlisberger? Give me the upside of Carson Wentz.
My 5 is Mariota 1. How do you pronounce that?
Mariota.
I feel like Wes's strong honking for Mariota has influenced the room because it influenced me. Like I think your just total belief in him has helped me even think, all right, push him even higher.
Wes just said he has a chance to be Joe Montana.
I feel like he as a rookie, he already had moments of transcendence.
So I had Mariota 1. Derek Carr 2, Bortles 3. You could flip them easily, but they're very close. Winston 4, but he could be higher too. It's pretty tough, those first 4.
Yeah.
And then it's crapshoot. And I went with Goff, and I don't know
for the same reason
about Goff. But let me ask you this question, Mark. The things that Wes just said, the reason you put him at 5, are you upset that the Browns traded away the number 2 pick when they could have had that guy on the team?
I came away from the draft feeling like Cleveland went all out with their strategy, and it was we're going to build this team through the draft, and it's not going to be by picking one guy at quarterback and having to trade up for that. They'll be compared to what Wentz does all along. If Wentz turns into Big Ben Part 2, there's going to be a lot of people that will look at that and say, man, you could have had him. That's a big target you missed.
It's an interesting analytics versus scouting discussion because one of the big tenets of analytics is a 2010 study by I think a couple of guys from Yale that said, if you are keeping the number 1 pick in the draft, you're doing it all wrong. You need to trade down and keep trading down and get as many picks as possible. Mm-hmm. But I also think you can be overly smart and talk yourself out of that. And what if Carson Wentz is a game changer?
They had their guy. It was Jared Goff. They just didn't want to give up whatever it would take to go from 2 to 1. And so they believed by all accounts, and they had a strong conviction in Goff, and they didn't in Wentz. So you can't force it. Maybe they'll prove to have a wrong evaluation. But
right.
I wonder if – and I know because they've had so many regime changes, but it's now legendary in this reboot of the Browns, the struggles that they've had finding the quarterback. Is the organization perhaps a little gun-shy to make a move of that at that level, a number 2 overall pick, and that part of the reason why they decided to go maybe a more conservative route? It will be. I mean, it is one of the more fascinating things to watch coming out of this draft, if not the most fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, they were killed for going against their own in-house study when they went with Manziel over Bridgewater.
Well, they went with a homeless man.
That was a nightmare. Yeah. That couldn't have turned out any worse. But that said, something about Teddy Bridgewater's overall game, I'm not that unhappy that they don't have Teddy Bridgewater. I'd like to see what the next guy comes down the pike is.
I mean, as we've seen, we thought Andy Dalton hit his ceiling, and that's the player. You know, you think of Alex Smith and Dalton when you think of Bridgewater, that he's got a lower ceiling, but I think he's a much better scrambler. I think ultimately he could throw a better deep ball than those two guys. So maybe he's a guy that it takes a little longer for him. With Mariota, the reason I had a hard time putting him one, although I put Winston one, was he's played 11 games that, you know, really, we haven't seen a ton, and he doesn't really throw or connect on a deep ball. So that's you're projecting more with him and Winston than those other guys, where we've seen Bortles do a lot. I think Derek Carr is going to inspire some angry tweets because he didn't get higher than four.
I haven't
from
two.
Anyone?
I haven't
you
three.
Had two. Two
three.
And three. Okay, none of us put him one.
I think he's fine
fair.
At three, though, yeah. Because it's like Dan said it too. Bortles, Carr, potentially interchangeable at some point. It comes down to probably what your preference is. I know for me, I like bigger quarterbacks that are going to last for 16 games, and that's huge for me. That's huge.
How much of Mariota's deep ball, which was the least efficient in the NFL, was the fact that he was throwing to Smurf wide receivers or Dorial Green Beckham, who didn't know which route to run, or the offensive line allowing the most sacks in the NFL? I mean, I have a hard time extracting how much of that is him.
I did too.
He didn't have a great throwing motion for deep ball. He's got the arm. But he doesn't have the touch that he does on shorter and intermediate passes.
This is it's a tough exercise. Hey, do you guys want to hear my bottom five?
Yes.
Sure.
The five guys I would least want 25 and under. Number one, this is going to seem at odds because I just made him my starter in the FMK game. But Johnny Manziel, too much baggage. He's 140 pounds. AJ McCarron, who I know some people get excited
about. Should we say lack of baggage?
Yeah. Sully. Pick up the chisels. Number two, AJ McCarron. I don't know. I mean, people
wow,
are
I
excited
like
about him. Not me. Number three, Geno. Number four, Zach Mettenberger. Greg, in the email where you listed the guys 25 and under, you put can't move instead of an age for him.
You'd rather have Zach Mettenberger than AJ McCarron?
Yes.
That is bizarre.
Yeah. And then five, Teddy Bridgewater slips into my bottom five.
Ooh, wow.
Well, I considered McCarron for my number my fifth overall pick.
He might be number one on Sessler's list of guys he doesn't want Teddy Bridgewater the way he was slamming him off the air here today.
There was a lot of tone.
You know that part of it is that I like to just riff on you guys in the office, but Teddy Bridgewater, I'm not a quarterback evaluator by trade. I just find him to be boring. He bores me.
It was a boring year
just
to watch their
quarterback
passing game. There is no doubt. Jimmy Garoppolo, just forgotten in this entire
season. Oh, let's see him play a game.
Poor guy.
Can I just say one thing about
Paxton Lynch, forgotten too.
One of the more fascinating individuals. A lot of times it'll be like, you know, that's what I say on the air. Like off the air, I'm a little more toned down. It's like the opposite with Mark. It's like the inverse. Sometimes Mark will say more brash, outrageous things off air than he says on air.
Absolutely.
It's like a little flip.
Well, because in this case with the –
because you said some pretty harsh things about Teddy downstairs.
I know, but like I was – you guys were laughing. It was like it was early on a depressing Monday morning, so it was like there was human reaction in the room. I was just – you know, trying to drum up some excitement.
He has no belief
in
these.
No, but that no, I do because he did not make my top five, and I didn't consider him for my top five at all. I just said I'd rather put McCarron than Bridgewater.
Yeah,
I liked McCarron down the stretch last year. I'd rather have him under Hugh Jackson in Cleveland right now than Teddy Bridgewater.
Can I go back to the Browns and analytics discussion for just a second?
Sure,
please.
So what the Browns are doing, there's no doubt in my mind that over the long run, you are going to draft more efficiently. If you do the analytics model and keep trading down. But NFL teams win with difference makers and outcome shifters, these special talents who are good enough to change the outcome of games. And I think that the only way to go about that is evaluate the tape and go with your gut and say, I need this guy to put me over the top. I think you'll end up with a lot of pretty good starters and no, like, special talents.
If 3 years from now they don't have stars on their team, which is basically the case now, it's a failed experiment. If they do, and it comes through maybe next year, packaging some of those extra picks and getting that next version of the quarterback, then it's not a failed experiment.
Or I mean, they might have they're likely, or not likely, but they will be favored to have a top three pick again.
Right.
And
Do you change your...
In theory, the roster will be better off for this rookie quarterback next time around.
Because the analytics aren't dogmatic. They shift to go with trends.
No, and I think the analytics might have influenced them not trading up to one, that they didn't want to give up picks to get Goff. But at that point, it's not really about – you can't force yourself to love Carson Wentz.
And their coach did not. It wasn't just their analytics department. Their head coach did not want Carson
Wentz. Here's the other question. Will Sashi?
Sashi!
And Hugh Jackson get 3 years. That we haven't seen that under the Haslam regime, whether anybody's going to get the time to build this the
right
way.
It's another thing where you have to say, yeah, we have to see it. But I think they will. But I've said that about every single coach. So
there's one guy on this list that makes about five times more than anyone else.
He's right in the middle. That's why.
He didn't make any of our top fives.
Brock?
He's right in the middle.
Brock Osweiler.
He should be there.
It's a weird thing with the NFL draft and he's the first to get money there, a 25-year-old making $17 million
a year. Nothing I've seen on tape out of him would have me put him in the top five.
I wouldn't, me neither, and yet I wouldn't rule out him being a good – there's nothing he showed that would say, well, he has no chance, that he can't be.
No, I'm not saying he can't be.
I'm sorry, and not just in this room, but the popular opinion is that Houston vastly overpaid for this guy. It might be – he might be getting so much, heat right now that he's going to actually perform better than expectations, because I think everyone thinks he's going to be a bust. Maybe he'll be good, decent. All he has to do is be better than Brian Hoyer.
I think he'll probably be about the 23rd best quarterback in the league.
He's got to be better than that. He's got to be in the top 15. He's got to be right at the Dalton line.
For this exercise, he would have likely come in 6 or 7 for me.
Yeah. I mean, it would have been tough, him versus Geno. I think we'll revisit this conversation.
Tough.
What?
Around week 3 or 4 when Geno Smith and the high-flying Gaileys are running through, and you're like, oh, yeah, Geno Smith can do exactly what Ryan
Jets
Patrick
fans are going to set
do.
Cars on fire if Geno Smith's the week one starter.
Greg's alone on that hill.
Give me Paxton Lynch over all those guys.
All right.
Oh, wait, you forgot Tom Savage. Do you
Who?
Remember Tom Savage?
Oh, the imaginary friend. Of the NFL quarterback room? Is he under 25 or 25 or under?
Who knows? He's not a corporeal entity. I don't even think he has.
I don't have an age.
Well, and I bet a bunch of people will say, what about Tyrod Taylor? 26, you're not on the list.
Get banged.
Sorry.
That's it. All right, we'll be back on Wednesday. We're going to have a new first-time, long-time – no, I don't know if he has ever listened to the show but Dan Helley, who hosts Total Access with Lindsey Rhodes, will be stopping by on Wednesday.
He's a VFL, too. Vol for life. Went to Tennessee. Had to fit that in there.
Is he?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. VFL.
Did you go to Tennessee? I wasn't aware.
Yeah.
Had to fit that in there.
Absolutely.
VFL. Are any Vols not VFL? Or you're automatically?
Kenny Chesney stabbed us in the back a couple times, getting on Tim Tebow.
This is like Southern dude talk now. We just went into.
And you lost me.
So Dan Helley, Vol for Life.
I heard tell from Damashek earlier today that he's really into cornhole.
We'll have to talk with him about
it. What a great idea for a guest.
So we'll have Helley in, and then, mini camps are kicking off starting tomorrow. A lot of mini camps, so there will be plenty to talk about. So until then, this is Dan Hansis signing off for The Quiet Storm, The Mailman, The Boss, Sully Behind the Glass. Thank you, Sully. Till Wednesday.